We just want to pray for Matt as he finishes the final session for us today. If you join me, that'd be great. Father God, we thank you for this faithful servant. We thank you for his heart and his desire to serve you. We thank you that he's here this weekend and you put him in our path and to deliver a message from you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'll bubble over in him this morning and that it would overflow into all us men. We pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. It's the last day, guys. How are we doing? Great. Who's had a good weekend? I couldn't sleep this morning. 4:30. Woke up. Because I've been pretty crook the last couple of days, some of you may have noticed. And I was hiding away in a cocoon trying to get healed in between preaching and whatever. And 4:30, woke up early and just thought, I've got to go out for a walk. I've got to get out and enjoy God's creation, you know. And so bumped into George, who's originally from Scotland. And he said, mind if I come? I said, let's do it, brother. So two by two, we went out. And I started with my torchlight. I said, we'll be right, because it was dark as, you know. It was a bit of moon, but foggy as, you know. And he said, we don't need that. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I said, amen, let's do it. So we're just walking by faith. How about that? And we came across the empty tomb. And I got good news. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And George and I just had an amazing time with the Lord walking this morning out in the middle of God's creation. And, you know, we started out. I was on a mission, you know. I've got places to go, things to do, you know. And George is like, hey, whoa. There's no rush. I'm like, yes, there is. We've got to get places. I want to see this cross. I, you know, he's going, you can just take it easy. And that was my moment this weekend. That was my God moment. God spoke through George to me, through a Scottish bloke. Can you believe it? There's no rush. Be still and know that I am God. You know, that Saturday when I was pretty crook, I went to bed early, just spent the afternoon, had a nap, you know. And I was just saying to Dale, no kids to bother me, no wife, you know, no getting ready for church the next day or anything, you know. I just got to just be still with God, you know. And I think that's one of the things that the Lord's really spoken to me about this weekend. You know, I spin lots of plates. I do lots of things. I'm busy all the time. But we just got to be still. And we just got to learn to receive the love of the Father. Amen. So I had a great walk early this morning. And we are so blessed with this wonderful campsite. So once again, thank you to all the team. Let's give a big thank you to all the team doing all this. Now, I want to do a couple of creative things this morning. Is that okay if we get a bit creative, have a bit of fun for our last session today? So one thing I want to do is just show you a little video clip of the soup kitchen and the ministry that we run in Brisbane. And I don't know if you know, but I'm actually blessed with the spiritual gift of Daggy Dad dancing. And if anything you take away from this weekend, I want to bless you to be a daggy dad and dance with your kids. You know, dance, have fun. You know, like I really felt to get on my knees and then get on my face and worship the Lord before. And often when I do that, you think, oh, I wonder what they're thinking. They're probably looking at me going, what's he doing, you know? But who cares what people think? We live for an audience of one. David danced in his undies before the Lord. And he said, I can be even more undignified than this. Now, as men, sometimes we're like, oh, yeah, I'll just worship my way. I'm tough, you know. Who cares? Who cares what people think? It's between you and Jesus, guys. Get out in the bush and have a dance before the Lord. It might break something off your life. Imagine if my wife and I went on a date every Monday night on our day off and we talked about the same things, ate the same food, went through the same ritual every Monday night. Do you think our love would maybe wane a little bit? But I need to take it to different restaurants. We need to have different, not just talk about the kids whenever we go out for dinner. Not just talk about the church. We need to talk about our hearts. We need to love each other. We need to open up ourselves to each other, share our fears, our dreams, our passions. That's how you build a relationship, men. That's how we build our relationship with the Lord as well. Sometimes on your knees, sometimes lifting your hands, sometimes in silent reverence, sometimes walking in the bush and being still and quiet and enjoying His creation. Be creative in your relationship with God. So I'm just going to play this clip now, and I just want to ask for forgiveness in advance because it is pretty daggy, dad dancing, but I hope it'll bring a smile to your face.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it, so don't stop.
That's all right. There we go. Testing 1, 2. So guys, that's my family. You saw my little redhead there. You saw my son, Joshy. My wife was in there as well. But that soup kitchen, that's my favourite day of the week, every Friday. And, you know, a few years ago, God spoke to me and said, Matt, you've got a great inner city church, great worship, great... But what about the homeless, the addicted, the lonely? You know, there's several homeless shelters in the inner city of Brisbane. And so we started the soup kitchen and we put it on, you know, got a chef, we advertised it and no one turned up. We had about 10 volunteers, no one turned up. I'm like, oh, gee. And then God spoke to me about the parable of the King's Banquet, where they went out into the highways and the byways and invited people to come. They didn't come and they compelled them to come. And so I went out to the nearest homeless shelter, a place where my car had broken down 6 months before, and I never knew it was there, just around the corner from my church. And God spoke to me 6 months before and said, you're going to minister at this place one day. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll remember that, you know. And on this day, he reminded me that's the place to go to. So I went there, picked up five people. They were the first five visitors, and all five of them are now serving and volunteering 3 years later. They've been saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now they're serving. And here's the big thing that our church is on now, that every believer is on a continuum, you know. They're either a pre-believer, a new believer. They need to get baptized. They need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. They need to find out what their spiritual gifts are. Then they need to start serving. Then they need to start leading. And then they need to dream about planting a church. That's the continuum all through the book of Acts. And I want to challenge you today and ask you, where are you on that continuum? Maybe you're still a pre-believer and you haven't made a decision for the Lord. Today's your day to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're a new believer and you haven't been baptized yet. Go and get dunked or sprinkled, however, you know, whatever works for you. Maybe you don't know your spiritual gifts yet. Do a spiritual gifts test. Find out what your gifts are and start serving. Every one of us is needed in the body of Christ. The verse I want to start with today is Ephesians 4, verse 11. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to please take notes, guys. Don't forget to write this stuff down and remember it. This is the verse the Lord put on my heart when I was on my face there before, and I said, all right, Lord, I better speak it. If you want me to speak on it, I better speak on it, Lord. It says, He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is such an important passage in the Scripture, and it can be summed up in one sentence: doing church as a team. Every one of us is called to be serving in church. We're all called to do something. And I love it how it breaks down apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. If I wanted to come over here and attack this bloke, if I didn't like him very much, I could poke him with a finger and it could, you know, maybe tickle him a bit, not do much, you know. But if I put all my fingers together and got a punch, I could really smash him. And that's why we need every part of the body of Christ together in unity to really pack a punch against the devil, amen? Not just the prophets, not just the apostles, not just the pastors, all of them. And I like to use the hand because it's like the apostle, he's the one that plants the churches and oversees things, and he's the one that gives the thumbs up to the body of Christ, you know? Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Go and preach somewhere, go and minister, go and lead people. The apostle, he's like the, and he kind of works with all of the fingers. And then you got the prophet, who's the one that can see, the one that, I was just speaking to Dale about it, prophets often see what the Spirit's doing in a meeting and then they prophesy it, they decree it, they speak it out, and they call out people and they say, God's saying this to you, God's doing this in you, and they lead people and they give us direction, and they pick out the bad things sometimes and scratch where it itches sometimes, you know? And we need prophets in the church, people who hear from the Lord. And then you've got the evangelist, who's the longest one. He's the one that reaches out longer. If he's turned around, he can be really bad, you know. But he's the one that reaches out I'm an evangelist more than anything, and some say I'm moving into the office of an apostle. Time will tell. But I really believe we need more evangelists. They say about 5% of Christians are in these categories. But I actually believe that all of us have some kind of gifting that fits in with these. You know, there's something like 30 spiritual gifts if you add them up in the New Testament. Well, we've all got spiritual gifts, but the evangelists, we're all called to evangelize. We can't just leave it up to the Billy Grahams and the Bill Newmans and the, you know, the great evangelists. All of us are called to evangelize. And part of the evangelist's job is to win souls, but also to equip the saints to go and win souls. So this weekend, I do want you to learn how to be a daggy dad dancer and dance. That's one of the things I want to leave you with. But I also want to challenge you as an evangelist to a bunch of men, go and win souls. All you pastors that are here, you're all great men of God, all wonderful men of God. I felt so convicted a few years ago that I was just preaching to the choir. And now every week, three times a week, I take a 12-seater minibus and I go around to the homeless shelters and I go fishing. I say, who wants to come for a feed? Who wants to come to our soup kitchen? Who wants to come to church? On the Friday, when I say, who wants to come to the soup kitchen? All the blokes at the Pindari men's shelter having a smoke out the front, they go, what's on the menu, Pastor? It's like, haven't you heard the saying, beggars can't be choosers? Anyway. But you know what? I sit there and I talk to these blokes who are just out of prison or they're on drugs or they're just off the street or whatever, and I compel them to come. I'll talk them into it. I'll offer them anything. I'll say, I'll give you Macca's drive-thru on the way home if you don't like the food. You know, I'll do anything to get them to come into community. And, you know, we've actually had the Brisbane City Council come and do a checkout on what we're doing. And they said, this is the best ministry because everyone's got food vans where they go out and they give them the food, but then they just take off. But you bring them in and you're building community. That's what the homeless people need. That's what the people on the streets need. They need community. They need love. So I want to challenge all you pastors. Who can you pick up and bring along to church? All you men, everyone, who can you compel to bring to church or to shed or to whatever ministry you're part of? I try and make it a goal never to have one seat empty. I used to be a sales guy in a radio station. I'm used to having budgets that you've got to meet. That's my budget. Three times a week. Whenever I take my bus out, I want to fill that thing because I want to empty hell and populate heaven. I want to win people for Jesus. That's what makes me tick. That's what floats my boat. If I'm not winning souls, I'm packing up and I'm quitting my church. If I'm not winning souls, I'm wasting my time. I've told my church that for 11 years now. If we're not winning souls, we're doing the wrong thing. We're called to be soul winners in our churches. I have evangelist goggles on wherever I go. I'm always looking, where's the guys that need to know Jesus? How can I share my testimony? How can I pray for them to be healed? How can I connect with them and let the Holy Spirit give me the words to say? And I'm just wired that way. It drives my wife crazy. Airports, restaurants, at the shops, wherever we go, she's like, oh, who's Matt talking to now? What's it on? But I'm compelled to win people for Christ. So we've got the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and then there's the pastor, who's the ring finger. He's the one that loves the bride, loves the church. He cares for people. And then you've got the pinky finger, which is the teacher. I don't know if you've noticed the British, the way they drink their tea like that. Apparently, they'll spill it if their little pinky finger's not up, because the pinky finger brings balance. And that's what we need teachers for in the church. They bring balance. So the crazy evangelists and the prophets and all the other, you know, they correct. they bring balance to the church. But you know what? Every one of them is needed. And you know what? Those five aren't the ones that just do the ministry. It says in Ephesians 4, they equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's our job as leaders to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. We need to do church as a team. Just imagine if there was a car accident out here, and the fivefold ministry turned up.
the prophet would walk out and go, oh, I saw this coming. The Lord showed me in a dream. And if you don't repent, it could happen again. The evangelist comes around, goes, all right, is everyone okay? Do you know you could have gone to hell? Do you want to pray the sinner's prayer? Do you want to give your life to Jesus right now? Anybody else? Come over here. Put up your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. And they all get saved, you know. The pastor's like, are you guys okay? You all right? You really need to connect with this guy. You guys should start a home group together. You're really cool, you know. Are you all right? Here, have some bandage. Here, have a drink. Let me get you a cup, you know. The pastor's the caring one, you know. The teacher's like, I see what went wrong here. He was driving too fast. He didn't have enough brake fluid. He probably should have turned at this angle. And if you fix this, this, and this, you won't have the accident again, okay? You know, the teacher explains it and unpacks it. And then the apostle, he comes in and goes, I've seen this happen before in other areas. This is how they fix it in this situation. You guys look like it's all under control. I bless you. I'm going to go and look for other car accidents I can minister at now. And here's the thing I want to bring home to you guys. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists are all different. Sometimes teachers and evangelists don't get on because the evangelist doesn't bring enough meat of the word, you know. The teacher will be on his case. Sometimes prophets, people who hear from the Lord and speak for the Lord, the pastors go, oh no, oh that's going to be messy to clean up once you prophesy, you know. People don't like apostles because they can't sit still. They're always rushing off doing, you know. But we're all different, men. We all have different gifts, different callings. And I really feel the word of the Lord for us as wholehearted men is find your calling. Find your gifting. Find your spiritual gifts. If you've never done a spiritual gifts test, you can go to, I'll give you a website actually, enewhope.org. So my church in Brisbane, this is our parent church in Hawaii. It's like a big Hillsong kind of church. enewhope.org and type in spiritual gifts in the search part and you can do a test. It only takes about 5 minutes and it'll find out. You'll find out whether, you know, maybe your top gift is martyrdom or celibacy. Or maybe evangelism or teaching. And it'll change over the years as well. But find out who you are. Find out what your strengths are. Find out what floats your boat. And be excellent at it. Be the best evangelist. If you're an evangelist, be the best evangelist and don't hide your light. If you're a prophet, prophesy. If you're a teacher, you teach God's word every chance you get. Whatever you're called to do, do it wholeheartedly, men. Do it with all your heart. God himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry for the edification of the body of Christ. Men, the body of Christ needs edifying. It needs to be built up. And it starts with us as leaders. Starts with us as men. Every one of us need to edify the body of Christ. And then we'll all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And every part of the body needs each other. So if you're not functioning in your gift, your church is weak in that area. Men, you need to love the church. Look at this passage in Ephesians 5:25, a bit later in Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, that's a great passage for marriage, but let's flip it on its head. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do you love the church? Do you love the church? Pastor Brian Houston, well known as the leader of Hillsong, planted churches all over the world, worship songs sung in most churches. Half the songs we sung this weekend are from his church. What an amazing man of God. Started at Baulkham Hills with 25 people. And he was interviewed recently and said, what's the secret to your success? And I'm thinking, this is going to be profound. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. I'm going to use it, whatever it is. And this is like mind-blown kind of stuff. You ready? This is what Brian Houston said. What's the secret to your success? Just keep turning up. Just keep turning up in Jesus' name. Just keep turning up. Think about it. For the last 20 or 30 years, Brian Houston, he's had scandals in his church. He's had people fall in adultery. He's had financial, you know, he's been accused of financial misappropriation. The media's hung him out to dry. He's had people come and go, people go. But what does he do? He just keeps turning up. Man, I just want to challenge you today. Just keep turning up. Keep turning up to Shed. Keep turning up to your men's ministry. Keep turning up on Sunday. Turn up to the opening of an envelope if it happens at your church. Whatever's happening at your church, just turn up. Men need to be present in the body of Christ. And we need to be active. We need to be putting our whole heart into Christ's bride, the church. He's coming back for a pure bride, man. He's coming back soon. And when he comes back, I want to be found working in the harvest field. Not playing games on my phone. Not looking at porn. Not watching TV. Not being found lazy and apathetic. The lukewarmness and the apathy in the Australian church is a crisis, and we need to repent. We need to come alive. And this is why we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know our identity. What is your calling? What is your gifting? Be who God's called you to be. Find out what makes you come alive and do it. Be the best you could be. A little bit of my story. I shared a bit about the father wound in our first session. My dad was a passive father, wasn't really into church much. I shared a bit of that. My first church where I was a youth pastor at, the senior pastor was a great evangelist. And he was an ex-heroin addict. And he preached all over Australia and he took me under his wing. And he was raising me up. But then after 4 years, he got addicted to painkilling drugs and ended up leaving the ministry. And I found out about 2 months ago, he committed suicide recently. My first father in the faith, my first pastor that employed me, that cared for me. So I left that church wounded, broken, thinking I might give up. Ended up going to another church. Had a great time at that Baptist church for a few years. Theo and I were there together. The pastor was a great man. He took me under his wing. I did Bible college at that time, and I was getting raised up and ready. And then his wife says to him, I don't want to be a part of this church anymore. Stops going to church. And I'm like, how can that happen? You know, he's still in ministry now, praise God. But I had my first two pastors that I worked for, I saw these examples and I thought, why would I want to be a pastor? Look what happened to these guys. And then I shared my story in the marriage seminar the other day. Some of you may have heard it. I was married from the age of 20 to 25. A young girl in my youth group fell in love with me. Can you blame her? And she'd been an ex-drug addict. She smoked and drank and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I'll fix her. I'll be right. A lot of people said, don't marry her. But I rushed into it because I knew what I was doing. After 5 years of trying to make that marriage work, she left me for another man. She's now married to that man. My 19-year-old daughter is from that marriage. I'd moved to Brisbane at the time and found out that she was leaving me for that man, and my heart was broken. And then my third pastor, Kirk Delaney at the Vineyard Church in Brisbane, took me under his wing, let me cry and snot on his floor for about a year. He cared for me, nurtured me, prayed for me through that time, and he believed in me. I ended up running alpha courses in the church, and I got a job at 96.5, the Christian radio station in Brisbane, and I started selling advertising. I started earning lots of money, and Pastor Kirk just nurtured me. He put me on as the treasurer of his board. He got me to preach, and he nurtured me back into ministry. After that time of brokenness, he believed in me. Men, never underestimate when someone believes in you. Never underestimate the power of your belief in someone younger than you. You've got to raise up the young guys around you. You've got to believe in them. Take them under their wing. Speak into their life. I've never seen a bloke go backwards with encouragement, man. Come on. We've got to be encouragers wherever we go. Pastor Kirk raised me up at that time. My budget at the radio station was $400,000. I had three staff. There was 12 of us in total at the radio. And I prayed that God would speak to me. And God spoke to me. He said, your ministry is not to make money, but to win souls. I'm like, but God, I'm working at a radio station. He said, you're calling. He said, if you're faithful in this, I'll bless you with greater things. So I started praying for my clients. I started telling my sales team, we've got to pray for our clients. Over that 4 years, our sales went from $400,000 a year to $800,000 the next year, $1.2 million the next year, $1.4 million. The staff doubled from 12 to 25. The listenership grew from $120,000 to $240,000. Everything doubled. We had massive favor on that radio station over that 4 years I was there. And then I started running Alpha courses and all these people were coming to Christ. And I started sending them to this church called New Hope because I knew they were a good church that would welcome in unchurched people. It was pastored by Phil McCallum, who was actually Dale's first pastor. And Phil rang me one day and he said, mate, you're sending all these people to my church. Why don't you come and help me? And I was like, I'm really happy at this Vineyard Church. My second wife, Carol, and I had met at the Vineyard Church. And I'll just backtrack for a bit. I'll get to that bit in a moment. My wife and I met at the Vineyard Church, and she had been single for 10 years, brokenhearted, and she wrote a list of what she wanted in a man, with about 10 things on it. There's only one thing. It just said he's got to have teeth. I think that was all it said. No. She wrote a list of what she wanted in a man. And she prayed and she just stayed single for 10 years waiting for that right man to come along. I come along and I remember we were working together at one stage and I said, she said, oh, where are all the good Christian men? And I'm like, hello? She just was not interested. I was a divorcee from New South Wales with a kid, 7 years younger than her. No way was I her idea of what that dream man would be. Anyway, so I prayed about it and I said, Lord, if you want me to tell her that I love her, can you get me a new job? Because we were selling websites together. Can you get me a new job? That was the day that 96.5 rang me and offered me the job. And I'm like, all right, Lord, it's a sign. So we're driving in the car and I said, Carol, can I say something to you? And she goes, yeah. And I said, I really feel like I need to just say something. And I thought, I'm not going to say I love you because that's just putting it way out there straight away. So I said, I have really strong feelings for you. And she goes, and I said, can I take you out for a date tonight? She's like, totally not into me at all. Not interested at all. Okay. Totally freaking out. We went out, we were best friends. We'd drive in the car today. We'd work together. We'd go to church together. We'd worship together. We'd pray together, you know. We were full on for God, you know. Took her out for dinner. Turned up like, hi, here's some flowers. How about those Broncos? Nice weather we're having, isn't it? Most awkward date ever. But then, and for the first 6 months of us dating, she wouldn't let me tell anyone. We couldn't kiss. We couldn't hold hands. She was a smart girl. And eventually, she fell in love with me. Can you blame her? And she found the list. After I proposed to her, she remembered that she wrote a list. She thought, I better just measure this up. And I was everything on that list. I won't go through all the 10, but it had things like, he's got to love God more than anything else. He's going to have to want kids. He's going to have to be a good provider. He's going to have a good sense of humor. I can't remember what the other things were, but yeah. He's got to be really humble. Yeah. I really believe the Lord's called me to be humble, and I'm proud of that. So. And you know what? She was the woman that I prayed for. 14 years we've been married now. We've got Joshie and Grace. She's a great stepmom to Lydia. She's the most amazing pastor's wife. So we got married. I was earning good money at the radio station. I was sending people to New Hope Church. The pastor rings me and says, why don't you come and help me? And so we went and checked it out, and she didn't like the church at all. Because we were in a vineyard church. It was like really good worship and, you know, healing and moving in the spirit, you know. And New Hope at the time was just a really seeker-sensitive, short, sharp service, you know. And she was like, oh, I don't really like this, you know. But we just felt that God was speaking to us to go and join the church. So we joined the church to go and help with all these new believers that got saved through the Alpha Course. And then Pastor Phil rings me after a month and he goes, there's a conference in Hawaii that I've been invited to. I've got a free ticket. Do you want to go? I'm like, let me pray about this. Yes, God said yes. So I go to Hawaii to this New Hope Church over there, church of 10,000, and he sits me down and he says, Matt, God's calling me to Hawaii. I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before, you know. Do you want to take over my church? It was like everything in my life had prepared me for that moment. 30 years old, been a youth pastor for 10 years, been through a divorce, been through Bible college, all that stuff. But God had raised me up for that, for such a time as this, for that church. And I just felt so overwhelmed. So I rang my wife the next day. I said, guess what? Pastor Phil's asked me if I want to be the pastor of New Hope. She goes, don't be silly. You're in Hawaii. You got conference fever. You can't. We couldn't. We've just had a baby. We just had Josh. You know, we've just had a. We can't pastor a church. I said, honey, just pray about it. And then finally, the Lord revealed to her that it was the right thing. I was hearing from God about it, and she finally came to the party. So we accepted the role. 4 months transition, Phil handed over to me. And for the first 3 years of the church, she hated it. She was just submitting to me, faithful to me, sticking it out with little kids. You know, Joshie and Grace were born over those few years. And then we had the church split that I talked about the other day. Half the church left, the finances crashed, everything went to hell. I got sick, I nearly died. I had this thing called Still's disease. Went from 105 kilos to 85 kilos in about 2 months. I was in bed. I was losing my hair. Not much left anyway. I had insomnia. I had, you name it. I had this horrible rheumatoid arthritis. The doctors said I'd be stuck with it for the rest of my life. They said they put me in hospital, put steroids. That was nearly it for me. And at the same time, my elders had left. There's a big split, you know. Everything was taken away. And Carol was sitting there one night, saying, God, I've had enough of this. I want to leave him. She's shared this in our church. I want to leave him. And God said, who are you married to? And she said, well, Matt, of course. And God said, who are you married to? And she said, well, you, Lord. And she stuck by me, a faithful, loyal woman. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, the Bible says. Faithful woman. And after that time, I miraculously recovered. We rebuilt the church, and she loved New Hope ever since that lot left, because it became our church, our vision. I was trying to copy someone else's vision and copy someone else, but I had to be me. And man, that's the heart of our wholehearted message this weekend. Just be you. Be who God's called you to be, and be the best you God's called you to be. The church needs you. 11 years now, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. We love our church. We've got friends there. Our kids have friends there. We're reaching out to the lost. We're bearing fruit. I feel like God is using it to do something amazing. I want to just change pace for just 1 minute. And I want to invite Jeff to come out here and just have a sit over here. I know that some of you guys have to go soon, and I really just feel compelled to do this. This is one of my favorite examples of the gospel that I've ever heard. And I really just want to challenge you guys with this. Just come and sit over here, brother. And I'll get you two guys to come and stand on either side. Yep. Just pick which side you want. Yep. Yep. And just facing direct on. Yep. And I need two other guys to come and help me. I'll get you two guys over here to come and help me over here. Just stand over there. Guys, I just want to tell you, We need to be bold in sharing the gospel. We need to make sure that we teach God's word and we win souls as much as we can. And this is one of the best ways I can share the gospel as we close today. This is one of the best ways I can think of. So imagine this is a courtroom in heaven, and this is God. Don't get a Messiah complex. It's all right. God the Father, who was and is to come. He's a good, good Father. That's who He is. It's who He is. And I'm loved by Him, and that's who I am. God the Father knows the number of hairs in your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you speak them. He knows you and He loves you. He knows what struggles you have. He has a purpose and a plan for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's what the Father, He wants relationship with you. He loves you. But in this scene, He's the judge. Because the Bible says that every man, it's appointed once to die and then comes judgment. So He's the judge today. On the right hand, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Lived on the earth 2,000 years ago, born of a Virgin Mary. At the age of 12, He was found teaching in the synagogue. He knew the Word of God. He turned water into wine, got baptized by John the Baptist, tempted by the devil, went into the desert, led by the Spirit, came out in the power of the Spirit, it says. Turned water into wine, healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, taught the Sermon on the Mount. Read through the Gospels. If you have found yourself dry in your walk with Jesus, read about Jesus again. Read the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about Jesus. I love Him. The only sinless man that ever walked the earth. You want to know what a wholehearted man is? You want to know what a true, real, godly man is? You look at the Son. You want to know what God the Father looks like? You look at His Son, Jesus. We're all meant to be like Jesus. Papa, they love each other. And you notice that we've got God the Father, God the Son. But because this is the courtroom in heaven, I'm not going to have the Holy Spirit here. Because we sang it before. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Spirit till the work on earth is done. The Holy Spirit is here on the earth today. Jesus said, it's good that I'm going to be with the Father, because there is one who is coming after me, who is the Holy Spirit, who will guide you into all truth. I believe the Holy Spirit is in heaven, but He's also on earth. When we receive Christ in our heart, we receive the Holy Spirit in our life. So God the Father, God the Son, love you, Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. Then we got the devil over here. I actually did this at my church once, and the guy I picked it for the devil felt really bad for 2 days after it. But I know that you're secure in your walk with Christ, so you can, this is just a play. We're just acting it out, okay? All right? Okay. He's going to do a hell of a good job. I can feel it. Just watch how he goes, because the devil's in the detail, all right? Okay, now he was an angel, Lucifer in heaven, who was in charge of the music, which is interesting when you look at the music around the world today. That's why you need to listen to Vision Christian Radio with good Christian music. He said, I want to ascend and be like the Most High. He became jealous of God. He became prideful. That was his sin, the sin of pride. Man, we've got to guard our hearts from the sin of pride. He was cast out of heaven. And it's believed he took a third of the angels with him that are now demons on the earth. Demons of lust, demons of murder, demons of rape. I see demons wherever I travel around Brisbane. Imagine if God opened our eyes for 1 minute to see what's actually happening in the spiritual realm. Imagine if you could see all the angels and demons on the earth. You'd pray differently. You'd preach differently. You'd evangelize differently. He's the father of lies. There's actually 28 names for the devil in the Bible. Father of lies, dragon, Beelzebub, Satan, Lucifer. There's heaps of names. But He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. But He is the great deceiver. Don't be deceived by Him, men. Don't give Him a foothold in your life. Take up the sword of the Spirit against this man. against this devil. He is evil. You don't want to give him an inch in your life, men. Resist him and he will flee from you. And he is the accuser of the brethren. So for the purpose of this, God the judge, Jesus is the defense attorney, and the devil is the prosecutor who points the finger at you and accuses you of your sin. Now, I'm going to pick you to be the one that goes to heaven. Just, whoa. Easy on with the overacting there, fellas, all right? Okay. Do what the director says. You've got to talk to him like a dog. We heard that, didn't we? Okay. I picked this. He should have been Jesus. Look at this. He's got the, anyway. Okay, so the Bible says it's appointed once to man to die and then comes judgment. So give us your best Hollywood death for us. Oh, give him a hand. Brilliant. Okay. And then the spirit, the body stays on the earth. The spirit rise up to be judged. Okay, so you stand before God for judgment. Use your spirit fingers. Now you can sit down. God, it's all right. You're the judge. Yeah. Spirit fingers, yeah. Okay. Now I believe that there'll be two questions that have been asked. Rick Warren in the Purpose Driven Life says there's two questions. Number one, did you believe in my son? And he's saved, so he says, I did. That's good. So that's all that's needed to get into heaven. But the devil will come in and try and accuse him of his sin. What kind of sins do you think he committed?
Where do we start?
Okay, committed lots of sins. Okay, so just stand back a bit here. So the devil comes in and points the finger and says, you deserve to go to hell. But Jesus steps in, faces the devil, and puts his arms out like the cross. Okay. Come on. Calm down here, guys. Calm down. The devil says you deserve to go to hell, and Jesus says, over my dead body. Now, who does God see here? Is Jesus perfect? Does he get to go to heaven? Is he a sinner? Are his sins forgiven? He's a saint now. Come on, give him a big hand. He gets to go to heaven. Woo! No, stay there. It's all about the cross, guys. When Jesus died on that cross, he paid the price for us. We haven't finished yet. So Jesus, you come back over here. Then, I believe, and Rick Warren says this in the Purpose Driven Life, there'll be the believer's judgment where God will ask, what did you do with what I gave you? And then I believe he'll be rewarded for the good things he did. He's not saved by the good things, not saved by works, but he'll be rewarded for the good works he did, for the times he maybe prayed for someone, maybe cared for someone, gave someone a cup of cold water, fed the poor, prayed for someone for healing, spoke a word of encouragement to someone. All those things, I believe, God is watching, and you'll be rewarded. Reminds me of the bus driver and the pastor that died in a crash. They were both standing at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, oh, John Smith, the bus driver, come up. Well done, you've got this massive reward. You get a gold-plated Mercedes-Benz, you've got this massive mansion. Well done, this is your reward. And the pastor thought, wow, if that's what he got, I must be getting a good reward. I'm a preacher, you know. And St. Peter said, oh, yeah, here's your reward. You get a skateboard and a little shack over there, all the best. That's your reward. And the preacher goes, hang on, that doesn't make sense. I preached in the pulpit for years. All that bus driver did was drive a bus. And St. Peter said, well, you see, up here it works on rewards. When you preached in the pulpit, people fell asleep. But when that bus driver drove, people prayed. So then Jesus will take him away, and heaven is a place where there is no more tears, there is no more hurting, no more pain, no more temptation of sin. We get a new body. How good is that going to be, a new body? Awesome. All right, now let's make this other bit quick. You can sit down now. I just picked this brother here because I know he's secure in his identity as well. Can you die for me, brother, just real quick? Yep. Oh, a bit dramatic. Okay, yeah, that'll do. All right, calm down. All right, okay, all right. Come on, give me. He's up. It's a miracle. He's alive. Yeah. Okay, so this is just for the, we'll just be real quick here. Did you believe in Jesus? Yeah, it's not good enough. He never asked for a defense attorney. All those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He didn't even ask. But he might have been perfect. He might have been good enough like Jesus. Was he a sinner? What did he do? He was a good bloke. What sins did he commit? Lying. Yep. Stealing. He's broken. Okay. All right. Whoa. Okay. So does he deserve to go to hell?
Yes, he does.
Take him away then. In hell, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. No chance ever again to be in the presence of God. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go there, friends. I'm compelled every day, as it says in the book of Jude, to snatch people from the fires of hell. Men, this week, I want you to share the gospel, share your story. I want you to compel people to come. I want you to pray for the sick. If you've got kids that aren't saved, pray for them to come home like the prodigal. If you've got friends and relatives and neighbors, write down a list of who you want to get saved, make it a hit list, and pray for them every day. I don't want my worst enemy to miss out on being with the Father, being with the Son forever. It's the most important thing. Jesus' last command is his most important one. And we heard it before. Go into all the world. Preach the good news to all creation. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching the things I've commanded you. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Who did he say that to? 12 men. I'm sure they're looking around going, us? Ordinary unschooled fishermen? Tax collectors? This is your plan to reach the world? Surely you've got a website or something. And they went, 11 of them died for their faith. The Apostle John, it's believed, died of old age. The other 11 died for their faith. Peter was crucified upside down for his faith. Others were boiled in oil for their faith. They went boldly and preached the gospel. And here we are 2,000 years later, 2017, it's our turn now. It's our turn to go and win souls. Some water, some sow seeds, some bring in the harvest. Every one of us has a job to play. Let's give these guys a big hand. Thank you so much, guys. Just want to read out this one last thing before we wrap up. At the National Day of Prayer and Fasting, we received a prophetic word that there would be a revival among men. It says the Lord will begin breathing on men. Actually, I want everyone to close their eyes for this. Just receive this word. The Lord will begin breathing on men. Regarding the vision he gave, I saw men beginning to stir from the graves. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. As the sound of the singing of the children, we were walking toward the dead fathers. This is the golden key from the Lord. It is time for the men to arise as fathers, as husbands. The Lord showed me that he was calling the men to stand and speak to the dead men. Speak and prophesy to the men. And a further stirring of life-giving breath came from the Abba Father, from the Ruach. The holy breath of God came upon the men of this nation. And they were raised up to be warriors, a mighty army for the Lord. The Lord will turn the hearts of the children of the fathers and the hearts of their fathers to their children. The revival among men in these last days is God's secret weapon. The role of man and his God-given responsibility to rule in the household of faith and taking his spiritual role and authority in the family and in the nation, husbands and fathers will be raised up and will undermine Satan's strategies to destroy fatherhood. And all that this implies, when God created a man and a woman to be one flesh and to multiply and to have children, God himself in Christ is at the head of the church. And God's word says that he will raise up mighty men. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you men shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you men will also fall, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." God is about to breathe his life into men. And I am praying and pleading and weeping in the spirit for you men to join me in Abba Father's directive. Godly men, speak, arise in Jesus' name. The men in your church, call them out to stand up. We need more sheds. We need more churches. We need more men's groups. We need more fellowships where men can be men and prophesy to the dry bones that men will arise and be the mighty army that they are called to be. Some men will be fishermen. Some will be lawyers. Some will be politicians. Some will be carpenters, doctors, truck drivers, sportsmen. Whatever men are called to do, they will shine for the kingdom in these last days. Older men, raise up the younger men. March day by day in many nations prophesying, men arise. Abba Father is calling his men to arise and he's breathing on them with the breath of life. Father God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come in power today upon these men. I'm going to finish with one last story. There was a mathematics student who wasn't very smart. He had an exam and he said to his professor, "I don't know if I'm going to do well in this exam. Can I take in a cheat sheet?" And the professor said, "All right, whatever you can fit on an A4 sheet of paper, you can take into the exam." So all night, the students wrote all the equations and the sums that they needed for the exam. The next day, the student was sitting there ready for the exam. And standing next to him was a fourth-year mathematics genius, ready to lean down and give the answers for the test. And the professor said, "What is going on? You can't have this guy in the exam." And he said, no. "You said whatever I can fit on an A4 sheet of paper, I can bring into the test." And he pointed to the ground and the fourth-year mathematics student was standing on the A4 sheet of paper, ready to give the answers. It's a bit of a silly story, but I'm here to tell you that Christianity isn't just a bunch of rules and principles and laws on a piece of paper. Christianity is about a person, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. He's at the right hand of the Father and he's given us his Holy Spirit. And 24/7, 365, he's leaning down saying, "Husbands, love your wives. Go and forgive that person. Go and pray for that person to be healed. Go and plant a church. Go and do a mission trip. Go and start a men's shed. Go and give some money to that person. Go and start a business. Go into the secret place. Go for a walk in the bush and just seek me all day. Try dancing before me. Write your own psalms. Do your journaling every day." 24/7, 365, God is speaking to us, giving us the answers. He speaks through his word. He speaks through prophets. He speaks through sermons. He speaks through the radio. He speaks through many different things. But he's speaking. Are you listening? And will you respond to the call to be a wholehearted man? Will you respond to the call to be a mighty army that will see this nation turn to God? I believe God is doing something sovereign in this place. I want to close with a word of prayer now and invite the worship team to come. I want everyone to stand to their feet. Father God, we thank you that you are seated on the throne. We thank you, Jesus, that you're at the right hand of the Father and that you want to speak to us. You want to guide us. You want to lead us. Lord Jesus, we want to grow in our walk with you. You know, the Bible says when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. I just want you to put your hands out and get ready to receive a touch from the Lord. You know what? All these words are empty without the Holy Spirit's power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be a wholehearted man. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. And that's a constant tense. It actually means be being filled with the Spirit. Because we leak, we dry up. You need to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The last thing I want to leave you with, men, is a challenge. Every day, ask for God's Holy Spirit to fill you. Let the Holy Spirit be your comforter, be your counselor, be your teacher. Let Him give you the words to speak. Be a Spirit-led man. Don't be led by your flesh. Be led by the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, there was 120 men, 120 people in the upper room, or more than 120, in the upper room, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. When the Holy Spirit came in power, Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 were saved. More were saved throughout that week. Signs and wonders and miracles happened. It was the birth of the church. We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday recently. We need another Pentecost in 2017. We need another fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. So just as the music plays, just do business with God right now. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come on, get hungry, men. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Fill me up. Fill me up with your power. Holy Spirit, come. I pray, Lord, that you'll flow through this place like a fresh wind today. Give us visions. Give us dreams. God said in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Holy Spirit, come in power on every one of us today. Raise us up to be the mighty men of God you've called us to be. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Just as we close, we're going to have some worship music now. If you want to be prayed for today, I'm going to invite the pastors to come out again. And we'd love to lay hands on you and pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on you today. Pastors, come out quickly, please. And I know some of you men have to go. If you've got to go, come out first. Do business with God before you rush off. Don't miss this opportunity to receive a blessing today. If you want some prayer, come out the front. We'll lay hands on you. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come in power today. Come and do business with God, men. Don't put it off. This is our last moment, our last chance to lay hands on you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your finances. Maybe you want to pray for the lost ones in your family. We've only got 20 minutes till we wrap it up today. I want to make the most of this. So come out the front, get some prayer if you want some prayer, man.